Now, we are down to the fourth and last installment of our series called Authentic. Who among you were with us the past three Sundays? Can I see your hand for a while? All right. Okay, great. There's 10 of us. How about the others? Okay, where were you? Who among you, you can honestly say that this series has been helpful to you. All right? For the benefit of those who've joined us for the first time here tonight, let me just give you a brief, you know, background or context as to what we're talking about here. The premise of this series, basically, okay, there's a reason why we have this jeans right here. We're basically saying that, you know what, here in the ministry, you know, week in and week out, all of us here, we come to church at a given service, right? We attend a 6 p.m. service, 4 p.m. service. In fact, you know, we have our own quiet moments with the Lord, our quiet times, and some of us attend a victory group. With regards to this series, what we're basically saying is that all of those things that we've learned collectively and individually, okay, it will be validated and authenticated once we begin to apply it in our lives. All right? At the start of this series, we dipped off by talking about our responsibility as Christians. Who may believe that as a Christian, you have a responsibility? Right? We have a big responsibility, okay, to be salt and light to the world. Now, one of those things that we've looked at is our responsibility towards the authority. Okay, us submitting to authority. We said that, you know what, as Christians, we have a responsibility to the civil government. Okay? Next year, it's going to be election time. Okay? Who among you have registered to the COMELEC? Nag-register na kasi. Who among you are voting next year? Can you see your hand for a while? You're probably voting next year. Okay, great. Now, if you haven't registered yet and you're above 18, you're 18 or above 18, it's high time for you to register yourselves in your present. We're not endorsing anyone. But what we've looked at in the first installment of our series, basically, we said that, you know what, as Christians, we are not here to lambast any government officials. It is not our duty or responsibility to tear someone down. But instead, it is our responsibility to pray for our government officials. All right? And a week after that, you know, Patrick was here, and, you know, he preached a powerful message about us loving our neighbor. Okay? You can honestly say that you have loved your neighbor ever since, okay? Since Patrick preached that message, all right? He said that, you know, we don't owe anyone anything except the what? Except the debt of love, okay? Meaning to say we ought to love all of our neighbors, okay? Both the lovable and the unlovable, all right? And last week, we've talked about us, you know, we assumed that all of us here this evening, we said last week that we are those who are strong in the faith. And our responsibility as someone who's strong in the faith is that we are here to what? To welcome those who are weak in faith. Okay? And we said to welcome means to what? To welcome means to accommodate them but not to tolerate them. Okay? We will accommodate them and then we're going to lead them. Okay? And one aspect that we've looked at also is that as Christians, as one who is strong in the faith, we should not be a what? We should not do anything that will cause to be a what? A stumbling block for those who are weak in the faith. Now, this evening, as we wrap up our series, I believe this is going to be a brief and simple message for all of us. But for some reason, whenever we talk about this thing, we get so pumped up whenever we talk about money, we get so pumped up whenever we talk about faith. But whenever we talk about our responsibility to the world this evening, okay, for some reason, you know, this is something that we've heard time and again. But, you know, we trust the Holy Spirit that, you know, is going to cause something in our hearts here this evening as we begin to talk about our responsibility to the lost. Okay, so basically, we're going to talk about us preaching the gospel. Okay, kindly turn your Bibles with me for a while to Romans chapter 15. If you've noticed, we've been looking at the book of Romans. And, you know, this has been a wonderful study for all of us. And as we culminate this year tonight, we're going to look at verse 15. Can I ask everyone to please stand on your feet for a while to show respect and reverence to God's word here tonight? You can read along with me if you want to. This is quite a lengthy verse or lengthy text. It says here, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But at some points, I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given me by God. That it says here to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentile in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. Then it says here, "For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed." Then it says here, "By the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ." A few more verses. "And thus I make it my ambition," says here, "I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand." Join in prayer forever. Lord, we thank you for this evening. Thank you, Lord, because we are recipients of your grace. And because of that, Lord, as we have been reconciled, Lord, with the ministry of reconciliation, you've given us, Lord, the message of reconciliation, Father God. As we look at this familiar, Lord, topic here tonight, it is my prayer, Father God, Lord, that you will just speak, Lord, into the lives of your people. Lord, that you're not going to leave lives unchanged here. You said in your word that the word that goes out of your mouth will not return to you empty, but will accomplish what it desires and do the purpose for which you've sent it, Father God. I thank you, Lord, because you're cultivating hearts here tonight, Lord. We'll lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead and have your seats now. All right. You know, as we started off this series, we've basically made a distinction between, you know, a genuine one and a fake one, okay? I don't know with you, but there was a time in my life that I was tricked into buying something that's fake. I don't know if you've ever been, you know, if you've ever been a victim of a fake Levi's or maybe a fake jeans or whatever that is, or maybe a fake watch. Okay, remember, you know, when I was in college, there was a time that I bought a fake iPad, not iPad, the small one. Okay, the MP3 player. So, you know, I paid my classmate. She told me there's a shipment from Cebu. Pagdating sa akin, parang hindi iPad. So, 1 week lang nasira na. But when you were victimized by something like this, you know, a fake one that basically destroyed the reputation of someone who was selling that to you. All right, so that's why be careful when buying things or selling things online. All right, so but we don't want to go there, of course. You know, I stumbled upon, you know, some things on the internet. This is quite hilarious, of course. And if you're here tonight, you're fond of perfume for the man you love. You cannot go outside of your house without, you know, wearing perfume. Anyone? You love wearing perfume? All right. Yung mga usunod, yung mga angel's breath lang. Alam niyo yung mga ganun. Pero iba na ngayon. Ano yun? Tinong? Hindi ko alam yun. Okay. Yung iba naman, amoy, of course. Hindi amoy pabango, amoy efficacent oil. Ganun. Amoy tiger balm. But anyway, you know, at one glance with this product, you know that this is fake. Right? Instead of this guy selling you boss, they sell you booze. All right? So there's something wrong with this one. Okay, if you're here tonight, you love fried chicken, deep fried chicken, and you love Kenny Rogers, at one glance at this place right here, you know that there's something wrong with this place. It just doesn't add up, okay? Instead of it being KFC, it's just KFG. Okay, for those of you young ones here tonight, you love hanging out at McDonald's. Okay, you know that there's something wrong with this McDonald's right here, right? So there's just something wrong with this one. If you're here tonight, you love collecting watches. Okay, you're someone who's fond of, you know, collecting Rolex and all of these things. If you're invited into a shop just like this one, alam mo may mali, right? Parang, teka lang, uwi, gaba yun? Pagkuha mo ng relo, ha? Parang iba. So, kasi hindi po Omega yan. Dapat Omega. Okay? Kaya lang ginawa nilang Omega. You know, these are existing shops. So, I hope whenever you buy something, you also pray for a discerning spirit. Okay? Nowadays, we have to do that. Okay? In fact, I bought something at a certain establishment. Ang sabi doon, made in Chan. Instead na China, Chan, parang spelling pa yung China. But anyway, for the guys here, you love sports, okay? Who's rooting for the Warriors, June 4? Who's rooting for the Cavaliers? Anyone rooting for the Cavaliers? All right. Okay, great. So I know who you are. Wait for my next preaching. Next Sunday. Anyway, you know, if you love collecting basketball shoes, you know that there's something wrong with this one right here. Okay, parang iba, parang Adidas, parang Adios, hindi mo maintindihan. Okay, and last but not the least, I have it here. I come to understand in Victory, maraming fashionistas of Victory. Okay, there's a lot of, in Victory Dumaguete, there's just a lot of, you know, fashionistas here. Look at the person beside you, parang mga ganyan. If you love fashion, okay, you visit this shop right here, you just know that there's something wrong with this one. Okay, parang paradi, parang, ang basa ko noon, Prada. Okay, but parang paradi ito. You know what? Everywhere you go, there's always the authentic one and the fake one. Okay, when we started off this series, we said that, you know what, as Christians, okay, what will authenticate and validate everything that you're preaching and everything that you're learning is basically the practice that we do after that. And one of those things that we're going to look at is what we're looking at tonight, which is our responsibility to the lost, our responsibility to the world. Let me just start this off by saying, you have been given by God the responsibility to preach the gospel. And preaching the gospel basically is one of those things that will authenticate your claim as a Christ follower. All right? And you know, in this world, in the world that we live in right now, you would notice that there are a lot of fake ones around us. You know, we're not here to judge anyone, of course. But whether we like it or not, there are times that I've felt this myself. And I think this is common to everyone. You feel like sometimes you're being a hypocrite. Meaning to say, outwardly, you look like, you know, a real churchgoer for that matter. But you know that there are certain things that you are doing or things that is happening in your life that doesn't basically add up to the claims that you do. And that is what we're going to look at here tonight. And here's our predicament. Every single one of us, okay? Of course, we are Christians here tonight. But I want you to understand, I want you to remember the day before you got saved. I want you to just try to remember your life. Your life before, you know, Jesus saved you. You would come to understand that there is a big difference. Hello? Right? Your life before and your life now, I mean, there's a big difference. Okay, who among you, you're happier with your former life than your life right now? Of course, wala naman sigurong ganun. We have this liberty in the gospel right now. Can you imagine this for a while with me? Look at this one. Out of the billions of people in the world, God has handpicked you to be here at this very place, at this very moment, very time right now. At 6 p.m., you can worship Him for who He is. Aren't you thankful to God for that? Before all of these things happened, before you got saved, there is one verse in the Bible that describes all of us. Okay? That describes all of us. This might be your past, but I want you to understand, this is the present of the people out there. If you're here, you are fond of social media, maybe you have Twitter, you have Instagram, diba? You put a little biography. Diba? May nilalagay kayo sa ilalim. Example, you put Sam Zion Ramos. You put something, the most handsome drummer in the whole wide world. Not to mention, I'm humble. Ganun bagay. You put something. Now, this might suit all of us best. This verse right here, Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Talking about it, it says here, we are filled with all manner of unrighteousness. Then it says here, all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and maliciousness. Of course, we don't want something like this. We don't categorize ourselves, okay, as someone who's belonging to this group. But the reality is, before Jesus, this was your life. This was your life. Now, I want you to focus on two words right there. Look at the word field here tonight. Just look at the word field. Ano nakikita nyo? Field, right? If you look at that word field, this word was derived from the Greek word pleiro, which simply means to crumb. Okay? Students, you know what crumbing is? Ew. Exam tomorrow, study now. 10 subjects, that's crumbing. To crumb means you have all of this stuff right here and you try to put everything all together in one container. That is crumb. Just to give us a picture, if you ride an MRT, you try to crumb inside that very thick crowd right there. I saw a video of the MRT in China. Okay, if you think our MRT in Manila is worse, I mean, you haven't been to China. You know, the security guards themselves will try to sardines you in. They would try to push you in. Angel, bahala maipit yung mga daliri mo. Basta magkasya kayo sa loob. That's a picture of a crumb. Now look at this one. Going back to the verse, it says here, it's basically saying that all of us were crammed with all manner of unrighteousness. Meaning to say, you and me, before Jesus, we were all crammed with all kinds of unrighteousness. Sky's the limit. Hello? Sky's the limit. Meaning to say, the things that you despise with other people, it gives you an understanding because you are an unrighteous person, you have the capacity to do all of those crazy things. Okay? Now, then after that, the Bible says, okay, of course this is bad news, but good news is that this is your past. Okay? Take note, this is your past. So don't, you know, go home from this preaching thinking, man, I'm filled with unrighteousness. Don't claim it for yourself. Now, it says here, you're not just filled. The Bible also says that you are what? That you are full. You and me are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. Meron bang mukhang murderer dito? That's what the Bible says. So that basically, this is the perfect verse that describes you and me before Jesus initiated saving us. Now here's what I want us to catch. Here's what I want us to catch. I want us to understand, folks, that this is our predicament. Okay, this was our predicament. This is precisely the reason why every single person in this world, every single person in this world will always come into a point in his life wherein he's going to realize that he's filled with filth in his heart. It doesn't have to take someone preaching to you to tell you how prideful you are. You know that. I mean, at the end of the day, even if you feel like things are falling right in place for you and you don't have Jesus in your life, when you close the door behind you, you're all alone in your room. You just simply know that there's a big emptiness in you. And that is why religion is very popular. Because religion basically would try to patch up what is lacking. Take note, it only patches up. Because it is just patching up, it gets removed at a certain point. So this gives us a picture, friends. All of us know this. This gives us a picture, and this is basically what the Bible is claiming. Folks, I want you to understand this. There's no other thing, there's no other person in this world who could give you a clean slate other than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a person who has been saved by grace through faith. Nothing more, nothing less. And folks, that is the good news. The good news for you and me is that this one is the past. So the premise of Paul here in Romans chapter 15 is that he is basically talking to a group of people who is like us, who has Romans chapter 1 verse 29 as our past. So look at this, what he says here in Romans 15 verse 14, this is now for the Christians. He said, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers. He said that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. What do you catch here? You would come to understand that those two words are now popping up. A while ago, we've talked about being filled and being full, and in this verse, we see those two words, you know, popping up. The words filled and the word, what? The word filled and the word full. Okay, let me just try to contrast this a little bit. Okay, Before you became a Christian, when you were not yet regenerated, when you were not yet birthed again in the Spirit, you were not a Christian yet, here's what the Bible says about us, Romans chapter 1, verse 29, you are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and maliciousness. Okay? Now, who am I thankful that this is not you right now? Hindi kayo thankful? Adi, balik natin dito. Take note. This is our past. This is someone else's present. Our present situation right now is the opposite. It says here, if in the past we are full of envy, right now we are what? Full of goodness. You're full of goodness. Can you imagine that? I looked at myself in the mirror despite all of my mistakes. I got to claim that I am someone who's just full of goodness. So meaning to say, folks, by virtue of what Christ has done on the cross, God is looking at you right now and you're just someone who's just full of goodness. And the goodness here, friends, I want you to understand this goodness here is from a Greek word, agathos, in which means the uprightness of heart and life. It talks about your words and your deeds. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about you committing. I'm not saying that this is a license to commit sin. But what I'm telling you right now, when God looks at you, my friend, you are covered by the very blood of Jesus Christ. You are someone who's full of goodness in the eyes of God. And not just that. It says that you are full of goodness. And then it says here, before we are what? Filled with all kinds of unrighteousness. Pag sinabihan kang evil ka, masakit na yun. Pero pag sinabi kang unrighteous ka, evil ka, covetous ka, ibang level yun. And here's what the Bible says, we are filled, we are crammed with evil, covetousness, and malice. That's why, haven't you realized? Look at it, this is actually true. Before you became a Christian, okay, I want you to look at your Facebook right after this message. Try to gather all of your photo album. You would come to understand that the way you look right now is a lot different with how you looked before. Sa totoo lang, pag naging Christian ka, gumagwapo ka. I mean, that's true. So if you're here, you're becoming insecure with your look, just claim, you know, your Christianity, basically. The truth is, popogi ka. Why? Because you're basically what? Journeying from glory to glory. Akala niya joke yan, totoo yan ha? I look at my pictures before, noon, guwapo naman ako, alam ko yun. Pero ngayon, ibang level. Basically, you know that in your core, in your spirit, you are birthed again. It manifests in your physical body. It manifests in your physical body. Magugulat ka na lang, parang man, noon, wala pong mapansin. Ngayon, head turner. You're filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, and malice. And folks, again, that is your past. The Bible says right now, you are what? You are filled with all knowledge. And knowledge here is not just talking about your intellect. Whenever you look at knowledge in the context of the New Testament, it talks about what? Your progressive knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 would begin to say, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So to summarize this, I'm just thankful that this is one of the gifts of God to us. To summarize this, it tells us that a Christian man basically is what? Is full of goodness and filled with all knowledge. If you are a Christian, this is something that you could, you know, that you could type on your Microsoft Word, have this printed, laminated, put it on top of your bed every single day you wake up. And claim this for yourself, you're someone who is full of goodness and filled with all knowledge. Well, we are thankful that you're someone who's like that right now. There's a catch. There's a reason why you are full of goodness and filled with all knowledge. And it can be found in that verse right there. It says here, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and guess what? And able to instruct one another. There is a responsibility that God is giving us. You know, to instruct, basically, when you say instruct, it basically covers different ladders. It covers you instructing your fellow brothers in Christ. It also covers you instructing unbelievers, even to the point of warning them of the impending doom that they're heading into if they don't give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, that is your responsibility. That is our responsibility as Christians, meaning to say, as recipients of the gospel, okay, God has tasked us to preach the gospel. It's very simple, folks. It's basically like this one. I thank God that all of us here are full of goodness, right? I thank God that all of us here are filled with all knowledge. Now, what God would want us to do is to bring in people for them to be full of goodness and be filled with all knowledge also. And there's no better person who could do that, okay, except you and me. God has tasked us to do that. Preaching the gospel is our responsibility, and that is one thing that authenticates our Christianity. Yes, true, we're going to love our neighbors. That's a mark of a Christian. You're a forgiving person. You pray for the government. That's one mark of a Christian. But listen, folks, you call yourself a Christian. Jesus, if you're following Jesus was a preacher. All the disciples of Jesus Christ, all of them were preachers. So it gives us a picture that now that we are Christians, one thing that will authenticate that is if we're going to master all the gifts that we have and begin to stand boldly and start preaching the gospel. We have to preach the gospel. We have to preach the gospel. That is one mark of a Christian man. And there's just basically a few things that I would want us to learn from Paul here tonight. You know, Paul said, you know, if you look at verse 15, it says here, look at this one. He said, but on some points, I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder. Well, we can honestly say that Paul was a bold person. I mean, this guy is just so bold. This guy would just basically speak straight into your heart. He would even rebuke his friend, Peter. So what do we understand here? I want us to understand that we can take from the example of Paul as a Christian, we have to preach the gospel with urgency. We have to preach the gospel with urgency. Why? Why do we have to preach the gospel with urgency? Look at this one. Look at Paul right here in verse 15. He said, on some points I have written to you very boldly. You know, this is quite odd, but I want you to focus on the word written. Look at the word written. The truth is there are so many things that we could derive from this verse, and there are so many things that I could teach you from this verse alone. But I want us to just focus on the word written right here. Why am I highlighting this thing? I want you to understand this. If Paul, you know, Paul was a person who would basically preach to you if he would have the chance to have a personal interface with you. I mean, if Paul would have the opportunity to have boast coffee with you, he's going to preach to you. But because of his time, because of his generation, because in his time, for some reason, they are limited. Look at this one. This guy would write to preach. Are you folks catching this? What I'm trying to make us understand here tonight is very simple. Paul had the urgency that he would make use of any medium that he has just to be able to preach the gospel. If he had the sleepers, he would go to a certain place. If he would have a ticket or a ship, he would go to a certain place just to be able to preach the gospel. What am I trying to say here tonight, folks? Look at this one. You know, this guy right here would have the audacity and the boldness to just go everywhere. He would make use of ink. He would make use of sleepers. He would make use of ship, of horse, just to be able to preach the gospel. I was thinking about this. Here's what I want us to catch. If Paul would be one of us here tonight, if Paul would be one of those guys who's seated with you here tonight, if Paul was a modern man, I want you to catch this. If Paul was a modern man and he had an email, paul@gmail.com, he had Facebook, he has all of this social media platform. Can you begin to imagine the number of people who's going to be saved because of his ministry? If he cannot speak, he will write. In our generation right now, folks, I want you to understand this. We have been given so many platforms to preach the gospel. If all of us here tonight would be like Paul, was the urgency to preach the gospel, can you imagine how many thousands, if not millions of people, will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? If we do this in a collective way, Paul had the urgency and he had the boldness. I remember there's a story about our Every Nation Church in South Korea. You know, we have a church called Every Nation Church South Korea. And one of the ministries that they're doing was that they would do their best to welcome and accommodate and preach the gospel to their neighbor, the North Koreans. And then that has become a ministry. But for some reason, over the years, it has become, you know, it has become quite tricky, simply because the government wouldn't allow that. I mean, if you're caught, you know, preaching the gospel to a North Korean man, I mean, that's going to be dangerous for you. So what they realized was this one. They realized that in North Korea, a cell phone is being tracked down. You have a cell phone, whenever you call someone, you're being tracked down. And guess what? They also studied it and they realized that it will take the government 10 seconds for them to track down a call or track down a conversation in a call. So what their church in South Korea did was that they would smuggle hundreds of cell phones, okay, with lines all across North Korea. And then they would go back on the border, they would try to call all of those numbers, and when one person picked the call up, they basically have 10 full seconds to preach the gospel. 10 seconds to preach it with all clarity after they will hang up. I mean, imagine the desperation. Imagine the sense of urgency. In our country, you're in the Philippines. We don't make time for preaching the gospel. Simple lang naman sana, kopi ko, 3-in-1 lang. Invite someone for a coffee, you get to preach the gospel to that person. Paul preached the gospel with urgency. He preached it boldly. My prayer is that we're going to be a church, we're going to be individuals who would do the same. The second thing that I want us to understand here is this one. You know, Paul did not just preach the gospel with urgency, he also preached the gospel in all its entirety. He preached the entirety of the gospel. He said, look at this one, Romans 15, verse 18 to 19. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed. You know this guy? He knows that, you know, a lot of people are watching his life. He doesn't just preach the gospel with words, he preaches the gospel with his life. And not just that, it says here, he will not venture to speak of anything. Meaning to say, every single day, when he would talk to people, it's the same message. It's just the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yun yung minsan tayo, we come to church, parang feeling natin, teka lang, bakit paulit-ulit yung pinipreach sa church? Sukang-suka na ako. The reason lang naman na sukang-suka ka na kasi hindi ka namimigay. You try evangelizing, you would come to understand that you need more. And that's basically how it works. That's basically how it works. That's basically what Paul did. He didn't have any other message apart from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And last but not the least is this one. And this is what I want us to take to heart here tonight as we end this. The third thing that he did was that Paul preached the gospel to the lost. Paul preached the gospel to the lost. It says here in verse 20 to 21, and thus I make my ambition. Some of you have an ambition, okay, being a Christian. Meron tayong ambition. It's actually good for us to have, you know, godly dreams and godly ambitions. But you know, for Paul, you know what I like about this guy right here? It wasn't his ambition to be a rock star preacher. It wasn't his ambition to be a celebrity pastor or something like that. It wasn't his ambition to be a rock star worship leader. His ambition was very simple. Preach the gospel to the lost. That's basically what he wanted to see. Whether there's hype, whether there's a conference, whether it's hot or cold, whatever season he may be in, he is going to preach the gospel. Come here, you can honestly say that you have to preach the gospel to the found also. You need to preach the gospel to the found. You need to preach the gospel to yourself. Hello? Every single day, you need to preach the gospel to yourself. You feel so insecure, preach the gospel to yourself. You've made a mistake a night before, preach the gospel to yourself. You've made some mistakes, you've made some blunders, preach the gospel to yourself. You feel so insignificant, preach the gospel to yourself. Great! We understand that. We understand how things work, basically. But folks, I want you to understand this. As we keep preaching the gospel to ourselves, as we keep preaching the gospel to the found, listen, there are tons of people out there, hundreds, thousands, millions of people out there who haven't even heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people out there who haven't... You don't have to be a pastor to preach. Do you realize that? If you're a student, you're working in a certain government office, that is your audience. You ought to preach there. Both with your words and with your deeds. You know, this guy right here says, when we were looking at the text on the onset, we said that there's a place called Illyricum that he went to. You know, folks, that place is a certain place in present-day Yugoslavia. It's an existing place. If you try to summarize what Paul did in his time, he was able to cover, this guy was able to cover 1,500 miles just to preach the gospel. That would be amidst persecution. In fact, he even wrote, he said, even the devil opposed me to my face. The devil himself opposed Paul. He encountered shipwreck. None of those things would hinder him from preaching the gospel. I hope that is the same, you know, the heart that we have. That, you know, now that we are full of goodness, can you imagine that? Now that we are filled with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope we take to heart the Great Commission. The Great Commission is a great call for everyone. It is for the great multitude, not the select few. It was able to cover 1,500 miles for that matter. Let me just try to make sense of this one for all of us. Before Jesus was born, there was what we call the 400 silent years. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine at a single season in your life, God is just so silent? Quiet time ka. Wala ka ma-highlight. Lord, I feel like you're so silent. A single day that God is silent in your life, you feel bad about it. Then it runs to 2 days, 3 days, for 1 week. Can you imagine it? God has been silent in your life for 1 week. Can you imagine 400 years of silence? God is not speaking to His people. But here's what I want us to understand, folks. Amidst those silence, God was orchestrating something. That's why the Bible says, in the fullness of time, that was the time when Jesus was born. In the fullness of time, after 400 years. Why so? Why not on the 200th year? In those 400 years, they were under four empires. The Persians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, and now the Roman Empire. I mean, they were mistreated. Where were you, Lord? Sometimes that's their question. The Bible says, when Jesus was born, in the fullness of time, it was under the Roman Empire. The Israelites were under the Roman Empire. And folks, it was just so perfect. At the height of his ministry, at age 30, when he was preaching out there, you know what happened? He was crucified, he was resurrected. The message was left to the believers. Why is it that in just a matter of a few years, the gospel spread like a wildfire? You know why? History will tell you that during Jesus' time, the Roman roads were already present. Meaning to say, folks, if Jesus was born earlier and you were given the message, you cannot bring it anywhere simply because there's just no road at which to go to. They don't know anything about India. They don't know anything about all of these places. In the fullness of time, meaning to say, God was orchestrating all of these things. And when there were roads, there were highways already. In the fullness of time, people were bringing the message from here to there, preaching the gospel in India, preaching the gospel in Yugoslavia, preaching the gospel even in far places. That was in their time. Folks, I want you to understand this. Can you imagine what will happen in this world if we come to understand that in our generation right now, we have the internet highway? Can you imagine what's going to happen? We say change the campus, change the world. Do you realize that it can happen in our lifetime? That is, if we take to heart the call of God to go out there and make disciples. Learn to preach the gospel boldly. The Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto those who are saved. And I want you to understand this. The gospel has with it the power. Listen, you can join so many organizations out there, and folks, it can only patch things up. The only thing that could give us a clean slate is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to show you a picture. I'm not promoting anything, of course. But can you imagine this? When I was younger, I never thought that this would happen. But you know, in our generation right now, we have something like this one, like Cebu Pacific Peace of Air. I mean, it might look funny, but look at this one. You pay 1 peso, you pay the taxes, then you're in Afghanistan. You pay 1 peso, pay the taxes, together with that, you are somewhere else preaching the gospel. Meaning to say, this is God's favor for all of us. Together with your gadgets, together with everything that you have. I have another picture right here. Our friends from Pakistan, ladies and gentlemen, are in Manila right now. You know what? We were in Pakistan last November. Can you imagine? Who would have thought that we would go to Pakistan as a church? Hello? And right now, the people that we were ministering to, this guy, of course, is not Pakistani, he's Filipino. But there's 5 of them. Most likely, the other one was taking a picture. I mean, when we were talking to them, this guy, to be honest with you, they look like everything they can do is basically nonsense. They just love jumping around. But they were discipled. And now they are in Manila to learn, to get equipped. Imagine what's going to happen in their nation once they go back. It takes a family to go there to preach the gospel in Pakistan. Is it risky? It could be risky. In fact, I have a great announcement for all of you folks. It is with great, you know, honor that, you know, these guys, they will be with you next Sunday. They will be here in Victory Dumaguete for the 6 p.m. service. You're going to hear about their stories. You're going to hear about their life in Pakistan. It's just a great honor to be used by God in such a time as this one. As many of you know, you know, we are starting our, you know, this coming June 6th, we are launching our first ever victory group in Tagbilaran City Ball. And you know what? The person who's going to lead that is not even a pastor, just like one of us here. You know, the person is working. She has an online job. The other person is working at a remote island. She needs to take a 5-hour ride just to get to Tagbilaran. But nonetheless, nothing is going to stop them from preaching the gospel. Amen. Just a thought for all of us as we end this series. Folks, I want us to understand this. What authenticates an organization is basically their cause. Whenever you think about Habitat for Humanity, you think about building homes. You think about Bantay Bata 163. You think about protecting the kids. Whenever you talk about the AFP, the Armed Forces of the Philippines, you talk about protecting the citizens of the Philippines. Whenever you talk about WWF, you think about wildlife conservation. What comes into your mind when you think about the church? It's basically us preaching the gospel, amen, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow me to pray for all of us here tonight. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you because you've saved us. We thank you, Lord, because you've called us, Lord, not to dilly-dally. Lord, I thank you, Lord, because you've called all of us, Lord, to take your call in our lives, Lord, seriously. I thank you, Lord, because you're not interested, Lord, with a select few. But it is your desire, God, Lord, that all of us, Lord, would grow into the very thing, Lord, that you've called us to do. And that is, Lord, to preach the gospel. If there are times, Lord, wherein we were, Lord, that we refrain from doing so, Lord, when we were given the opportunity, it is my prayer, Father God, Lord, that as we repent here tonight, Lord, that you're going to give us the grace, Lord, to speak boldly, Lord. Give us the grace, Lord, to preach the gospel, Father God, Lord, with all clarity. We thank you, Lord, for the calling that you've placed in our lives.